That was some expensive perfume, huh? $300. That's a lot of money for a perfume, right? Is it $300? Denarii. Denarii. I was trying to trick you. What is 300 denarii? What is it equivalent? Like what?
300 days' wages.
300 days' wages. So if you count it in the United States, the median salary of a worker in the United States is $56,000. So if Judas was correct that they could have sold that for 300 denarii, that bottle of perfume was around $55,000.
Wow.
I can't blame Judas, right? Wouldn't some of us at least be a little bit like Judas? Come on. $55,000 spent in what? In Jesus' feet? I don't know if it's literally that work, but I think it's a metaphor, at least. A powerful symbol of a woman extravagant in her love. And that is what I would like to invite you to consider. To look at this Mary and to see in her love for Jesus an extreme, extravagant, prolific, and passionate love for Jesus. A woman who knows that this man that she loves so much is worth all that she has. Why did she do it? Why was she so moved to do that for Jesus? I believe she had experienced herself that extravagant and excessive love for Jesus. A couple of verses later, John the evangelist will say, precisely when Jesus is about to celebrate the Last Supper, John says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Or some Bibles say, to the end. In Spanish, I like it. French and Spanish, some translations say, he loved them to the extreme. That is the Jesus that Mary experienced. It was not a theory. She had felt the passionate, extreme love. And she just responded in kind. At 8 o'clock, we were just talking. I don't think she was saying, oh my God, did I give this? This is $56,000. This is a lot of money. Should I? I think when someone is captured by love, you don't consider. You don't let it just give completely. And I think Mary gives us that example of a woman who just had received love and she just gave back without consideration, without any mathematical calculations in her head of, is this too much or not? When you love, you just give. Now, going back to Judas, it is difficult. I mean, I want to take, and I'm not sure about the accusation of Judas was a thief. That's probably a convenient one to say too in the gospel. But he betrayed Jesus, but I think he was a passionate man himself. And I think I would like to balance it. How do you know when extravagant love is too much? Remember last week, the parable, which one was it? The story of the prodigal son. We had two extravagant people there. Remember? So not necessarily because of extravagant means it's good. For example, we have the prodigal son, the younger son. He asked his dad, give me everything. And then he was extravagant. And I don't know if it was love, but he was extravagant. He got all this money and he spent it all. But that love, that extravagance, was not love that led to healing and wholeness and connection. But it was an extravagance that led him even poorer, dead, disconnected, selfish, alone. It was an extravagant that cost him everything. On the other hand, we had in last week's gospel, the father, who was also extravagant. A couple of us were saying, that is too much. He's too forgiving. He should be waiting a little bit longer. He's too kind. And that was the love that reconnects, a love that enhances our life, that makes us alive and open, and it makes us live even better. So we have to discern sometimes what is extravagant that leads us to love and connection, and extravagance that just leads us to death and isolation. Mary anointed Jesus' feet precisely a couple of days before his passion and his cross. He probably was aware that this might end bad. And Jesus recognizes, she reserved this oil for my burial, and she wanted to give it to me while I was alive. Mary is preparing, in a certain sense, with her love, the sacrifice in the cross. And I'd imagine that for Jesus, this act of love of Mary was so comforting. I imagine Jesus, and I'm pretty certain Jesus didn't go to the passion, oh yes, crucify. I love it. No, he did not want to die.
He was scared.
He was terrified. He asked even God in the Gethsemane, remember? Please, if you can spare me this thing, I don't want to do it. Jesus was not a masochist. He did not want to do it. But he knew that, yeah, he could escape. He could keep quiet. But he knew, I can't. I have to do what I have to do. I have to speak truth to power. And if that costs my life, it's not that I want it, but it's what it is. I have to do it. And I believe that in Jesus' fear, in Jesus' anguish, in Jesus' terror of facing death, this act of Mary, don't you think, must have been such strength and consolation? I imagine when Jesus was on his way to the cross, he was just remembering Mary's love and that gesture of that extravagant gift. And I'm talking about the oil and the $56,000, but it's a metaphor. Not so much the money, but what it symbolizes, what it means. I am willing to give to this man everything. And it's such an intimate and beautiful expression of love. Just imagine, this is the Middle East 2,000 years ago. A woman who is not family loosens up her hair. Only you know what type of women do that. And she is, I don't care what people see and what people think and what people talk. I don't care. There's a woman who is free. The societal things that you're supposed to do that, she says, my love, I don't give. I don't care. I'll just show my love. And this is pretty risque. A woman clinging onto the feet of Jesus, wiping them with her hair, her loose hair. That is unheard of. It's a woman that is so captured by love that she doesn't care what people say, what people think. She is willing to do everything for the one who has showed her love. So I think that for me, when I was meditating on today's gospel, for me it was a sign of Mary is a symbol, a mirror of what she received. And I was asking myself, how do I connect with God, Jesus? Have I experienced that type of love? Because I believe if I experienced it, if I really touched the love of God in such powerful, overwhelming way as Mary experienced, I would correspond the same way. I would be as crazy generous as Mary was. If I truly believed it. If I truly felt God's love as Mary experienced it. Jesus' love. One of the commentators for today's scripture reading said, it is clear that Mary's love for Jesus echoes in a small but significant way the lavish impracticality of Jesus' own love for the world. The extravagance of Mary's offering is overshadowed and subsumed by the far greater extravagance of God's own offering in the cross. The extravagant love is contagious. I believe that is what impelled people like Martin Luther King Jr. to do an extravagant love and be willing to die. It is what inspired Mother Teresa to leave her convent and dedicate her life to the poor in India. It is what inspired Gandhi, who's not a Christian, but he must experience God in some other ways. And he experienced that love capable of giving him the strength to fight for the liberation of his people.
Oscar,
what inspired?
Huh? Oscar Romero.
Oscar Romero, another man who gave his life precisely because he had felt God's extravagant love first. Harriet Tubman in our country, fighting and sacrificing a woman who was born in slavery, trying to liberate her fellow slaves. Paul himself experienced this extravagant love. Did you notice that reading? The second reading? Paul is saying, and I can imagine Paul, his chest growing bigger. He was saying, if anyone else has a reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I was a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, born of a Hebrew, pure case. Here, I'm not mixed. As the law, I'm a Pharisee. As to the zeal, I'm a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, I am blameless. You see his? And then he turns around. He's recognizing his pride. And he says,
his hubris.
And then he says, yet, all of that I felt so proud of, all of that I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. All of that, he was so proud. He thought he was so good. All of that is rubbish. And you know that word? We have difficulty translating it in English. We put rubbish. But really, that word, I'll be a vulgar here, means crap. Yeah, that's what it is. It's dog excrement. Yeah. So Paul is saying, he is saying some words that are pretty radical. All of that I consider because of my religious training, all of that is crap. Rubbish. Garbage. That is one person who has experienced the extravagant love of God that made him all the things that he thought were really important, just threw them aside. Now again, I want to invite us to discern, to put ourselves again in the role of Judas, and be suspicious of all extravagant. Not all extravagant is probably the best extravagant, just as we talked about the prodigal son. So I invite us, as we meditate, how can I be extravagant according to God's heart? How am I called to be extravagant in loving? And just to be aware, this extravagant of love is not only a religious, very private thing between me and God. This has consequences. As we discern, we understand, what do I spend my time, my money, my energy? What do I give it to? And we can examine. How do I spend my day? Where do I spend my money? Where do we spend our money as a church? What is our budget? In budgets, you can see what is important for us. And we can be discerning. We're spending this and that. And it's not always easy. Oh, we need to paint the whole church. Is that worth it? And some people say, we'd rather give it to the poor. Yeah, we could let everything fall. That could be one. So it's always a discerning. Where is God's love better manifested? And even we can look at our government, the federal budget. Where do we spend our money? And we can discern. We're very extravagant. Is it extravagant? as we signed last year, our government spent $1.3 trillion in the spending bill for, and this trillion with a T, for Department of Defense. Some people say, yeah, we need it. We need to defend ourselves. Others say, extravagant giving, spending would be to assure everybody in our country has medical insurance. Others say, that is too extravagant. We're going to spend and indebted our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. What is extravagant? And again, Jesus says, extravagant is the love that gives life and gives hope and gives grace and connection. Extravagant that brings us to death and extravagant that brings us disconnection. It is extravagant that is not of the gospel. Is it extravagant to spend $6, $9, $15 billion on a border wall? Is it extravagant to provide sufficient funds for schools and teachers? Is it extravagant to welcome immigrants fleeing their country's poverty and violence? What are these things that are death extravagancies? And what are these things might be love extravagancies? Notice the veil crosses today. It's because we're approaching Holy Week. And it has some first meaning is just we're getting close. We're right there. But also I'd like to invite us, these veiled are, for me, our symbol today of our blindness of love. Our blindness to discover where does God want us to give ourselves wholeheartedly as Mary did. Like Isaiah said today in the first reading, do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do not perceive it? Those are the veils. Isaiah says, do you not see it? Do you not see what I am doing? Get on board. Give yourself completely. Be as extravagant as Mary, but you need to open up your eyes. You need to allow the veil to be parted and to reveal what I want for my world, for my people. We will only be able to truly discern between these two types of extravagancy if we are, like Mary, open-hearted to the extravagant love of Jesus. This is what we will come to celebrate shortly in communion. And as you come forward to receive the bread and the wine, for us it's not only bread and wine. As I always say, bread and wine probably go to roses for better bread and wine, huh? Or in the brown, there's better bread over there. This is a little bit. This is, for us, it is mysteriously the body and blood of Christ. And just think about it. When you come, this is what we're celebrating, the extravagant love of God. And what we say when we receive the piece of bread and a little bit of wine, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, think about it. That is crazy, extravagant love. I love you so much. I don't only want to die. I don't only was willing to die. I'm here giving myself to you completely over and over and over again. And I was just meditating. If I truly believe that, and I've celebrated Eucharist thousands and thousands of times, and I don't get it yet. I still don't get it. If I truly got it, when I received that bread and says, God loves me so, so extravagantly. What would my life look like? What would the world look like if us really heard, received the extravagant love of Christ? We would be like Mary, just making a difference in our world. A different, extravagant love that would bring peace and love and connection and justice and love for the poor, the outcasts, the marginalized, if we truly receive that love. Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters the desert. Help us. us to recognize your hand working miracles beyond our imagining. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new things you're doing, so that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love for all and its presence in Jesus, the Anointed, the Christ. Amen.